You're listening to Humanitarian Radio with your hosts, Tony St. Tone and Janie Beauclair.
Good afternoon and welcome to Humanitarian Radio. I'm Janie Beauclair.
And I'm St. Tone.
Hello, Tony St. Tone. How are you today?
What is with that voice? Is that your radio voice?
No, it's my stage voice. You know, there's a lot going on in Hollywood in this time frame. We just had the People's Choice Awards, and we are just had the Golden Globe Awards, and now coming up is the Grammys. And it's really interesting living out here in California, making the move from the other side of the country, because I never heard on the radio there, "Watch out for all the limos rolling into town."
Yeah.
I never had that kind of a warning before, and I literally heard on the radio the other day, if you're driving into Beverly Hills, be careful because there's Limo City. All the limos are on their way to the Golden Globes, and it's really tough parking, and it's a really congested area with all the limos, and I'm like, limos, limos, limos. Isn't that fun?
It's a tough life, but someone has to do it.
So, speaking of awards, I do want to just casually mention the People's Choice Award gave Ben Affleck the Humanitarian of the Year Award. And I'm mentioning that, dearest Tony, because you were up against him last year for Humanitarian of the Year Award.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, mm-hmm. I was.
Yeah, so congratulations to you on that.
And thank you very
congratulations
much.
Congratulations to him on picking it up.
Hey, great listen, I think anybody nominated for the Humanitarian Award is awardee a winner.
They're doing something right.
They're doing something right, exactly. And, you know, that being said, I want to bring up a guy named Alan Law.
What an amazing guy. He is fact that one man can make a huge difference in a very large problem in his community of Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Yeah. Last year, Alan handed out 520,000 sandwiches to the homeless in Minneapolis. And it's just amazing. He's been doing this now for 13 years. He was a former a teacher, and he retired in 1999. And he decided that the nighttime was the best time to go out and help the homeless because all the shelters are closed by that time. So if you haven't made it into a shelter, you're on the streets. And somehow he just felt like he needed to go out there and start feeding them. He's handed out over 2,000 blankets and socks and gloves. I mean, if you've ever been to Minneapolis, you know it gets extremely, extremely cold at night. And to see that this guy has been able to do this all on his own, and what he does is he goes around and he asks
neighborhood
people, like the schools and stuff, to help put the sandwiches together. And he just goes around in his minivan and he hands them out. And we've posted a video that you can actually watch along on the site. You could take a look at it and watch it afterwards. But it's really, really a touching 5-minute story about this guy.
I got to say, this guy would totally be a nominee for our station to honor with a humanitarian award.
Yes. Yes, without
totally,
a doubt.
Totally, totally qualifies. What one of the guys in the community was saying was that this guy is single-handedly shifting generations in that he is, you know, he was a school teacher at one point, retired from that. So as a school teacher, he educated people on how to not get on the streets. But then once he's retired, he starts seeing their children and their, you know, next generation, and he's helping them along and saying, hey, you know, do something different. Let's change it up.
Yeah. And talking about changing it up, I want to bring to the forefront Utah.
Utah is changing it up.
Utah is on the track to end homelessness in their state by 2015.
Whoop, whoop.
Now, this is amazing because Utah has reduced the rate of chronic homelessness by 74% over the past 8 years.
74% over 8 years. Mm-hmm. That is a significant number.
Yep, they have moved 2,000 people off the street and put them into their own apartments.
So they're getting, the city is getting them, the state is getting homeless people a place to live, giving them a place to live.
Right, and here's the reason why. They did a study back in 2005, and they calculated the annual cost of ER visits and jail stays that homeless people have had averages the amount of $16,670. While the cost of giving them an apartment and assigning a social worker to them would only be $11,000 a year. So that being said, they said it's actually cheaper to give them their own place and to help them get back on their feet than it would to just let them try to survive out there.
And now think about this. Cheaper in so many different realms, like they're not cleaning up after the garbage that gets left behind inadvertently when you're living on the streets.
Right.
They're not cleaning up the lines and the sidewalks where they wait in line all night long for different places to open so that they can get food or possibly get shelter and that type of thing. There's a yes. lot of cleanup involved around the homeless. We learned that living in Los Angeles. There's literally, there's a crazy number. I can't even rattle it off the top of my head of how many dump trucks it takes every day to clean the waste that ends up on the Los Angeles streets because of people that live there.
Yeah, well, think about it. I mean, that's their home. So anything that they collect, they keep in a carriage. Anything they discard, when they're done with it, they just discard yeah. it wherever it is. It's
and
like, I have a new blanket. I got to throw that blanket on the ground.
Exactly. And think about the fact that all of these people are much, they're less healthy than the rest because they're out in the cold. They're out in the elements.
Exactly.
And so those states are also paying for free medical care. And paying to bury people who don't make it through these winter days.
Right.
It's a really huge mountain of money that it costs to have a homeless person on the street.
Right. And the fact that Utah has taken it upon themselves to end homelessness in their states, states like Wyoming now are looking at it and saying that they'd like to do the same thing.
Excellent.
Because what they found is that in the past 3 years, their homelessness has increased by a significant amount, and they only have shelter for 26% of them. So they're trying to find a way to end it themselves. So Utah is the forefront runner of how to do this in a positive way, and hopefully there's a lot of other states that are going to take on the same type of thing, because I think, obviously, it's saving the state money, and it's helping all these people that are in need, because not everyone on the streets are drug addicts and thieves. A lot of them just ended up there because they got hurt, they lost their job, next thing you know, they lost their house, and they're on the streets. That's just the way it works.
It's a domino effect, and it doesn't take much to get anybody there.
No.
Literally, we were watching a show not long ago. I want to say it was a Discovery Channel, something like that, where they were saying one out of every three people are one paycheck away from being homeless.
Yeah. Yeah. And I watched a video once where each homeless person held up what their previous job was, and you'd be amazed by, like, I was a doctor, I was a chemist, I was
lawyer.
A dentist, I was a lawyer. You know, they're not all blue-collar workers.
Slackers.
Yeah, you know. These are people that have had real jobs, had homes, had families, and just somehow fell through the cracks, and once they did, it's hard to get back up. And so I really applaud those that are helping the homeless, because a lot of them don't want to be there any more than you would want to be there. You
and
know?
You know, Tony, you and I talk a lot about trying to encourage people to realize that one person can make a really big difference. And in that instance, it only took one person to come up with that idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Somehow they obviously looked at the numbers and they said, hey, guys,
we'd be better off putting them in a house
and assign them a social worker to help them get off the streets and be a citizen in society and helping with the society.
Mm-hmm.
And look, it's actually going to cost us less money. And the bottom line is, unfortunately, with a lot of governments is, can we save money? And it's like, yes, you can actually save money and help people. Imagine that. So it's a win-win situation. So
brilliant, brilliant, brilliant.
Yeah, very exciting about that.
So I want to move into the next subject. We are going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about something called runes. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of that. I was just introduced to it recently at Mount Shasta, the event that we went to. And it's R-U-N-E-S is what it is. And it's something that is a method of prediction, if you will.
They're like tarot cards, or I think they're a lighter version.
Similar but different.
Mm-hmm.
So Anne is going to give us a 2015 what can we expect reading. She's going to pull some runes while she's on the phone. And she's going to tell us what we can expect and what we can do to make a fantastic 2015. And let me give you a little bit of a hint. It has to do with manifesting. Ann is going to tell us what exciting things we have in store for us, and I think it's going to be a real eye-opener. I didn't realize that these things have been around for like 1,000 years. It's pretty interesting. Ann Sklodonic will be back with us in just a moment.
I'm living here in a state of abundance. I'm counting blessings that I never saw before. Because I'm the ruler of this kingdom I call me.
Positive affirmations wrapped in pop rock songs.
Give me that best case scenario.
It's motivational musician Saint Tone.
Glass of stereo.
Check out his latest live show, The Rise Up Experience, at www.sainttone.com.
Mama said we can always hug it out.
Pick up his latest CD, Outside the Box, available on iTunes. For music with a positive message, check out sainttone.com.
Do you have a great idea for a product and you don't know how to get it made? Call Artistic Journey. They'll help you find your way to getting your new products made and into the marketplace. Need a free consultation? No problem. Need artwork and graphics? No problem. Need your idea turned into something wonderful that the whole world can use? Call Janie at Artistic Journey to help you get through this process. It's not as hard as you think. With 20 years of experience, Artistic Journey can pave the way for your product to get into the hands of people around the world. Call Artistic Journey today, 941-780-2538. So we are back, and we are here with Ann Sklodonic, and she is a runes reader. And for those of you who don't know what that is, we're going to have Ann explain that to us, and she's going to give us a demo on how exactly working with runes works. So hi, Ann. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Jamie. Hi, Tony. It's nice to be here with you.
So nice to have you today. I was telling our audience earlier that we had met you at Mount Shasta. We've been filling them in on that adventure, so they're very familiar with that whole learning experience and process and all the fun stuff we went through up there. And part of the learning experience was learning about runes, and it was something that I had never heard of before. So I thought it would be really exciting to introduce that to our listeners today.
Yes, that is. It seems that it's a rather new oracle on the horizon today. Even though I've been reading runes, boy, since the early 90s. So it's
over 20 years.
Yeah,
I had no idea it was that old. So tell people what exactly it is. Like, what does a rune look like, and how do you go about it, and that type of thing.
Well, the runes were originally an alphabet that was used across Scandinavia and the Germanic nation.
Okay.
It was only used for a very short period of time, from about the 3rd century to the 13th century, and it was replaced by the Roman alphabet.
Oh.
Yeah, the runes look like little stick figures. They're very angular, and they figure that the reason that they have this look is because they were generally carved into a very hard substance, like wood or a stone or an antler, and it was much easier to create a letter that was angular rather than a rounded letter like we have today.
Okay,
makes sense.
So now I know.
There's a practical reason behind it then.
I noticed the ones that you had were little squares that almost looked like something you would play Scrabble with.
Yes. The stones that I use are made of clay.
Ah.
And they've been inscribed and stained so that the letters stand out. Today you can find rune stones carved into all sorts of materials. You can find them in clay, you can find them in semi-precious stones like amethyst or citrine or quartz. Yeah, and there's even wooden and antler runestones out there today.
Isn't that interesting?
Now, is there a certain number of them? Like, you know, since they were an alphabet at one time, and is there a certain number of runes that are out there?
Yes. In the Elder Futhark, which is what they call this old ancient alphabet, there are 24 letters, and we have increased that to 25 today because we've introduced something called the blank rune. And the blank rune is also known as Odin's rune, which is the rune of destiny. It's the rune of the unknown. It's a big rune. When it shows up in a spread, it usually represents something large, something exciting that is about to happen or has the potential, I should say, to happen in someone's life.
Yeah, I want one of those.
Yeah, I know.
Do you pull those often, or is that something that happens rarely?
You know, I've been doing this for over 20 years, and in the beginning, it didn't seem like this was back in the 90s. And when I would do readings for myself and my friends, I would occasionally see that rune, but it really didn't come up that much. These days, the runes are actually shifting as to what I'm seeing. I'm seeing the destiny rune show up quite a bit. There's also another rune called Hagalaz, rather. Hagalaz is a rune of freedom, empowerment. It's a rune of really stepping into your true nature, and that is showing up a lot for people. So I'm looking at the runes over a couple decades now and seeing that the pattern of the runes even is changing as we are going through a change pretty much globally. And it's very positive. I mean, from my side, you know, it takes disruption sometimes to clear the air, to shake out.
Shaking it up, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You shake it up and, you know, and you get rid of those pieces that just don't fit anymore.
I was going to ask you if you thought that the shift in your readings was coinciding with the shift of the earth and what's happening in the world right now, but you just pretty much answered that. It looks like they are right in line with shifts going on naturally in the world.
Yes.
That's pretty unique.
It is. It's very interesting. The readings are far more powerful. They are. I'm seeing a lot of I wouldn't call it really breakups, but in relationships in particular, there's a lot of shakeups.
Right.
So that if a relationship is going to continue, it's going to continue because it's really right. And it shakes up those relationships, gets them out of that complacent state. Mm-hmm. And almost wakes everybody up to, you know, here you are, and be present in this relationship.
Now, are they very similar to tarot cards, would you say, or is it something totally different?
That's such an interesting question, Tony. I would say that the runes are sort of like tarot light.
Okay.
The tarot cards are wonderful divination tools, but they're just chock full of all kinds of symbology, and they reach huge spans of time. They go back into the past, way out into the future. The runes are more practical. They don't quite have all of that extra
baggage,
if you will. Yeah. And the runes talk more about the energies that are available in any situation that we're talking about here. So they're very practical. They're very current. It's like right here, right now. This is the energy of this moment, of this question.
Gotcha. So that's really interesting. So people asking certain questions, you feel like this would give you a more accurate, up-to-date right here and now, as opposed to where your future, like Janie said, a lot of baggage or a lot of extra details that you might not really need. So would you say they're best for general questions, or can you get very specific?
Oh, you can get very specific with the runes. And the more specific, actually, the better. A general reading will give you like, a general reading is sort of like the weather. It's saying, you know, like, what's available to me today? Should I bring an umbrella or my suntan lotion?
Well, that's a 50-50 shot.
Yeah.
So it give you a nice flavor of, you know, to know what to throw in your car. Now, if you get a specific question, the more specific your questions are, the more specific your answers are. And they always talk about right now. The runes, if they go out into the future, they only go out, boy, I'd say 3 to 6 months is as far as I would push it. It's possible that you could say, okay, you know, we'll look a year down the road. But the thing about doing those long forecasts with anything is that any changes that you make right now regarding this question is going to change that outcome right now.
Okay.
Right. That makes total sense.
Yeah.
So it depends on where you are right now. So it's best to use these for current situations and for current things that are happening, like you said, within a 3 month period from now, or that just recently happened and you need an answer today.
Current answer
as opposed to who will I marry 6 years from now? Like,
absolutely. Yeah, questions like,
it'll
like
be me,
who
don't worry about it.
Or will I ever have children? No, that's not a question for the ring.
You won't be having it in 3 months.
Yeah.
And if you are, you already know about it.
Now, I'm just really curious. When you do give someone a reading, because I know when we met you, you had me reach into the bag.
She had a bag of tricks.
She had a bag of runes, and she said, pull through. So you allowed me to pull the three, and I think actually I pulled a fourth because you said grab another one.
Yes.
It was I got lucky, I guess. I got to pull four of them instead of three of them. But do you normally have someone pull their own and because it's their energy, or do you normally pull them, or does it make a difference if you're doing a reading over the phone? I'm just curious about that.
Kim, that's a great question. And in the beginning, I would only do readings personally for people who would pick their own runes. And after a while, that just wasn't practical because some of the people that I was doing readings for moved away or I moved. And I was almost forced to try this reading by phone, which I was sort of skeptical about in the beginning. I was, you know, questioning whether it could happen. But, you know, it's one of those connection things. I believe that, you know, I've been doing readings over the phone for over a decade now, and it seems that once I connect with someone, either on the phone or through Skype, or sometimes even if they can't get to a phone and I need to even do an email reading, I can just reach in their direction energetically and pull accurately the runes. They seem to be very, very good for those long distance readings.
That's great, and that's great to know. And you know, I can understand someone wanting to be there physically and why you'd want them there physically, you know, using their own energy to pull the stones. But obviously it works either way, you know, because it is energy, and it's
traveling energy.
It's traveling energy. So it's not like, hey, I can't feel this person through the phone. You can feel a person's energy through the phone. And now, do you normally pull, is three stones the normal spread, or is it normally come? Like, I know that with the cards, you have several different spreads that you can do. Do the runes work the same way?
They can. A three rune reading is a nice little that's a nice little round reading, if you will. It sort of gives you enough information. It's like the Reader's Digest version, I guess you'd say. And yet, when I do a full reading for someone, which takes 45 minutes, I will continue to pull runes on a question until either the person is satisfied with what has come up or the runes stop talking, which is an interesting phenomenon that happens. There's 25 runes, and sometimes all the runes come out because they'll all speak to that question. And other times, I'll pull 12, 15, 16 runes, and all of a sudden, the runes change direction.
Interesting.
They no longer speak to that question. Yeah, it really is. It's just, you know, they're they're almost another entirely separate but connected energy that gets introduced when I begin to do a reading. They seem to have their own voice and a mind of their own. In fact, when I do readings, even for myself, it's pretty smart to keep the questions about you or about someone who is maybe very closely connected to you that you might be concerned about. But there was one day when I was asking a question about someone just because I was nosy.
Okay.
That's honest.
And you know, and the answer was hilarious. The answer came up and said, mind your own business and take care of your own work.
Wow. So the runes got right back to you.
The runes got right back to me. I mean, there was like no answer. It just stopped me dead in my tracks and just made me laugh.
That's so funny.
The runes, yeah, they're very positive and they're very direct.
Now,
so,
does each rune have their own meaning, or is it a general meaning and then depending on the question you can push it to the right or to the left or forward or back? Do you see what I'm saying? Are they very...
Is it so specific?
Yeah.
Yes. Each rune does have a meaning. The meaning, however, can change depending on the question. And that's a really good point, Tony. For example, there's a rune called Kano. And Kano, which represents the letter K, is also a rune which represents light and fire and passion and energy. I mean, you might even think of it as like volcanic, like volcano, you know?
Okay.
Go ahead.
No. We were just saying, okay. We're with you.
You didn't lose us.
So here we have this rune that represents light, fire, passion. And if someone was asking a question about a relationship and Kano came up as part of the answer, it would represent that there is a lot of insight in this relationship. There's a lot of transparency. There's a lot of passion. It's a good relationship. And yet, if someone is asking a question perhaps about a creative project that they're working on, and Kano came up, Kano could represent that their best creative time would be when the sun is shining.
So
do your work during the day as opposed to putting it off into the night. So yes, there are flexibilities in these runes, and also they change depending on what other runes come up around them. That can also have subtle influences on the meaning.
Do you intuitively then pick up from the stone and the question and go from there, saying, okay, you asked a question about creativity and volcano came up, and do you generally just go to that same answer, or intuitively you start to go, I have a feeling like this represents
you
being more creative during the daytime for you specifically? Is that what works for you?
That's a good question. Usually, the runes are pretty straightforward. There are times that I definitely get intuitive nudges to go in a particular direction with the meaning of the runes.
Right, right.
And there are also times that I might even get images. I'm very visual.
Okay.
So images pop up. You know, perhaps in that reading that we just talked about, I might get an image of the sunrise.
That's really cool.
So that's
very cool to know. So at least that way, the person that you're reading obviously is picking up on your energy. You're picking up on their energy, and you're actually getting even more insight. So these are almost assisting you, as opposed to being the only means that you have to communicate. You're going, these are a guide to help you with your intuitiveness to get deeper into
what the answer is.
Right.
That's correct. Yes. And I really like the rune because they're so clear. It's It's sort of an outline that shows up around which a lot of other information can come through.
That's interesting. Well, what do you think about us trying a sample reading for our listening audience?
Oh, I think that would be a lot of fun.
Okay. So, Janie, do you have a question?
I would say let's do something general that applies to everyone,
first
of all.
Yeah, and then we'll try a specific one.
And I would think something along the lines of it's the first quarter of a new year. And
okay.
I'm wondering how exciting is the new year for everybody?
Is there going to be a lot of change in the new year, maybe?
Could be,
or what is the energetic field for this new year? I'm feeling it in a numerology setting. 2015 is an 8. An 8 represents infinity, but also balance. So I'm wondering, what is 2015 in general have in store for us?
Okay, that's a really good question. And the way you're phrasing it is very good also, by the way, because the runes have a lot to say and they bring their own detail. Very often, it's good enough just to ask the question, tell me about.
Oh, okay.
So we're going to tell you about the new year, 2015.
Very exciting. Drum roll, everybody.
Okay. Now, the first thing that comes up for the new year is the rune Iwas. And Iwas speaks about spirit being a big player in this year. So this is a year to make sure you have spirit in your life in some fashion, whether it's in a meditation form or a prayer form, or understanding that whatever it is that you're doing, spirit's also going to be walking in there with you.
Okay.
That's the first thing. The second thing that the runes say is it's also a very good year to make physical and financial investments into your path, into yourself. This is a year of manifestation.
That's very exciting.
Yeah, it's very exciting. The second rune is Fehu. It's the rune of money, it's the rune of finances, and it's reversed, which shows an investment to be made. And the rune that follows that is this destiny rune. Of course, you know, I'm not surprised to see this show up.
Couldn't have been any more perfect.
It couldn't be more perfect. And the fourth rune, here we go, Tony. I just pulled, I thought 3 and 4 came out. So the fourth rune that comes out to speak to this question is Ansuth. And Ansuth is a rune of messages. Ansuth is showing up reversed here. So when Ansuth shows up reversed, again, it's saying that this is going to be a year definitely of spirit very active in our lives. So listen, not just the active one which showed up with Iwas. It was like to meditate, to surrender to spirit, to put some time aside for allowing yourself to acknowledge spirit. But this rune, Ansuth, says, listen.
So it's not just hear, but actually listen, which are two completely different things.
That's right. Listen, because those little voices, those little nudges, those inner guidances are going to be with us very strongly this year.
Excellent.
And in a very powerful way, not just to help us personally in our own, in our own little personal walks through each day, but also to be manifesting our destiny.
Yes.
I love the reading. I think that's very, very exciting. And it's something that there's been a little bit of clamor about through the spiritual world on 2015 is going to be a really changing world in Spiritville, if you will. And this just, another version of confirmation of exactly that this is our time. And if you ever wanted to make changes in your life, this is the perfect time to be doing that we have the ability to manifest on our own whatever it is we want the rest of our life to look like and take advantage of that this year. Make a
conscious effort.
Yeah, a real serious effort to put together in your life what you're looking to have in your life. And I think that's really right. Awesome that you just confirmed that for everybody listening. And that's a really exciting opportunity.
Yes, and what you said is so on the mark, Janie, as far as manifesting. This is a year of manifesting, but it's not a year that according to the runes, we're just to sit back and watch things happen. This is a year that says put your money where your mouth is.
Right.
Right, right.
You know, make an investment in your destiny.
Make it happen, because you can. You have the power. If you believe in yourself, you have the power to change whatever you want to. And when you have a universe who's shifting just specifically to help you do that in this particular year, wow, you can't ask for anything more.
Well, the assistance is there and the energy is there, and it's all saying the same thing, like
Get off your butt and make things happen for yourself.
Take control of what you would like to have happen, and we will back you in that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's exactly what it's saying. It's saying spirit's going to walk with you shoulder to shoulder, and you will be amazed at what gets done.
Very exciting.
Very cool. That is very cool. So we're going to go to a specific question now. But I thought that was a great general question.
Yeah, I love the answer. Excited me. I think that's fabulous. I'm so happy that the entire universe gets to change their lives as we speak and bring in their own desires. I think that's just an amazing thing. And we're now letting everybody know that didn't know, you have the opportunity to make some significant changes here, guys. So don't, you know, just shirk this conversation to the side.
Actually, don't delay.
Use it and do something great for yourself with it.
Where it's already January 12th, so
if
you're on a New Year's resolution, if you never made one, now's the time to actually make one, or just start considering it, or just start putting it out there what you actually want for this year, and you'll be amazed that you have that much more support supporting you.
Yeah, it's take control of your life and make it a special, you know, second half.
That's right. Invest in your own destiny.
I love that saying.
Okay, well, that being said, I have a question.
Okay, Tony, where are we going with you?
I'm working on some new songs.
Yay.
For a new album. But also, I just recently put together a best of CD that is supposed to end up in the hands of a very powerful record company. And they haven't gotten to it yet. I've had other people listen to it who are influential that said that they like it, but it hasn't gotten to those yet. So just curious to see where that's heading.
Okay, so we're looking specifically at the best of CD. Okay. Oh, that one is going to be just fine. The three runes that show up for you with your best of CD, Tony, is Lagus first. Lagus is a rune of flow. It says that you're already in the flow of everything, so you can relax. The way the energy of Lagus works, it's as if you're floating down a really lazy river in a tube.
Have you ever gone to? What country would we be in? Fiji, perhaps?
You just pick the country of your choice and know that the river's going to carry you. You don't have to paddle. You don't have to steer. You're in the flow.
Nice.
And the second that shows up for this question is Wunjo, which is the rune of joy. It says this is a happy occasion, so absolutely enjoy the whole process. Enjoy it. The third rune that shows up is Tewaz. This is a very powerful rune when you're talking about manifesting something. Tewaz is that masculine energy that makes things happen. It's also a very decisive energy that cuts through all the deadwood and goes right to the source. It's a very focused rune. So according to these three runes, the energy around that CD is spot on. You're right in the right place at the right time. You've done everything you've needed to do, and all you need to do now is enjoy the ride. It's going to end up in the right hands and in a very powerful way. You're doing good with that.
That's really interesting. Okay. That's a really, really interesting reading, if you will, because since it is the best of that I had put together, I feel like all the work that I could have possibly have done, I've done, and there was this hesitation of should I not? Is this the right song? Is that the right song? Because I'm picking through 15 CDs of songs.
Wow.
And when I finally just did it, I said, well, you know what? It is what it is. And I was supposed to make, I think, a list of 10, and I ended up with 20. And I still put them all, to get all together. I'm like, here, it's just going to be a list of 20, and just left it at that. So that's really interesting that you said that almost like all the work that you had to do is done, and now it's just sit back. You can't change anything about it. It is what it is, and just let it happen.
Yes. Stay in the flow and enjoy. And now it's a time of joy and celebration. You've done the work.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, that's why I was curious to see if that one was going to end up in the hands that it was supposed to end up in. That's what we're waiting for.
Oh, yes. It's going to end up in some very capable hands. Not just someone who's going to like it, but someone who's going to be able to do something with it.
Yes. That's what It's been like a 3-month waiting that I've been going, is this guy ever going to get a chance to hear it? And I keep going, maybe the timing's not right. Maybe the timing's not right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
That's very cool.
Yeah. Enjoy the trip. Enjoy the flow. You're on the right track.
Excellent. Excellent. Now, when it comes to specific readings, if a person wanted to go deeper with that, then you would just keep asking questions, or you would stay on that same topic and go deeper, like you said earlier, that you would take a 45 minutes to actually go deeper into the question and just start bringing more information to the table. Is that correct?
That's correct. Either I would pull more runes on the same question, or we would ask specifically about particular people you might be talking to, or particular company you might be talking to. So we would look at all those different facets, yes.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So now you obviously do this over the phone like you just did here with us right now. When you do readings for people, are there different levels saying, hey, I just want a general reading like you just gave and I can have that? Or is it we'll talk about several different topics this way? Like, how do you normally break down your readings? Is it just one or two questions, or can you do several questions like this, a quick overview of several different things, or one specific thing for 45 minutes?
I have different levels of reading.
Okay.
I have a quick little 10-minute reading,
mm-hmm.
and it's based on time. So however much we cover in those 10 minutes is however much we cover in those 10 minutes.
Gotcha.
A 45-minute reading, we can cover all kinds of topics, and those readings are generally when someone is going through some kind of change personally, either in their family or with their business. Then we look at we look behind all the little doors to see what information is there, what energy is there, what's available. Yes.
Right. So you can start digging even more. I think
that
is awesome. Now, do you have a way that people can get a hold of you? Is it through Facebook, or do you have a website, or how do people contact you?
Right now, the easiest way to contact me is through email,
okay.
which is annsrunes@gmail.com.
Okay, and you want to spell that for everyone?
Yes, that is annsrunes, all one word.
Mm-hmm.
@gmail.com.
Great.
Or they could call me at my cell phone, which is 719-433-0963. And I generally get back with everyone within 24 hours.
And you're on the East Coast also, so everyone that's listening, right now you're working out of the East Coast, so if you're in Florida or Connecticut, wherever, just keep that in mind. If you're going to call her and you're in California time, you might think it's 6 o'clock here and it's 9 o'clock there. So there's a 3-hour difference from the West Coast to the East Coast. So
point. Yes, important.
That is important. And do you usually take clients at any particular time of the day? Or, like, you know, is there a certain, say, hey, I don't like to read anyone past 9 o'clock at night? Or is there a general time slot that you like to work within?
Usually it's mornings and afternoons and early evening. I find that I get a little tired in the evening, so I rest when I can. And
right.
Weekends are very good.
Okay. And is this, I mean, when you're doing this type of work, do you feel like you, it obviously must have some type of strain on you because you're reaching into this spiritual place, and to do a number of readings in a row, I'm sure it could get pretty exhausting. So do you usually just keep a space between readings?
You know, that's an interesting question. And the answer to that is actually, it is not tiring.
No, okay.
I've done large rune parties where I've read back to back for 8 or 9 hours, and it's easy because I'm not doing anything. I'm the translator, and it's almost like milk through a straw. I just sort of show up and as the translator and watch what runes are picked and just decipher the meaning of them. It's rather simple. I stay out of the way as much as I possibly can because the connection is really between the runes and the person asking the question.
Right. Okay. That's a great way of letting us know how it works. I was curious, like, does your energy get stronger as you're doing it? Do you get more into a flow then? Or is it just something that it's just when it's on, and when it's off, it's off?
It's pretty much when it's on, it's on.
Gotcha. That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. Now, you said you do these house readings. So do you set up, can people set up parties with you also? So just let us know how that works. So obviously you can do a one-on-one reading, but you're saying that you've done parties in the past. So how does that work?
The parties are generally a very light and casual introduction to the rune. The parties have been anywhere from 6 people to, I think the largest party I did was about 40 people. And the readings are 10 minutes long. Sometimes, you know, a person would like, a sort of quieter reading, so we'll find a little corner space to do it. But most of the time during these parties, people are just walking around mingling. They're usually all friends. So often, 2 or 3 people will sit down for one person's reading. One of them might be taking notes for them as they're getting their reading.
Mm-hmm.
Another person might just be there just because they're sort of moral support, if you will, if there's a question that looks like it might be a little difficult. It's always nice to have your friends around. So these are very casual, very open-ended situations. Usually I'm set up right in the middle of something, in the middle of the living room or on a sun porch or something. And like I said, they can be as small as 6 or 8 people and as large as that full day afternoon summer party that I did when I was in Denver of 40 people.
That's great. So when you get hired for that, someone will hire you and say, hey, you're just going to walk around and just start picking people, or people walk up to you and just get these one-offs. And so I'm assuming throughout the day you'll see everyone just in their own little private areas as the party's going on.
Yes, usually. Like I said, at the last party I did, they set me up in the living room, sort of almost in the middle of the living room, at a nice little table, and I had some comfortable chairs around it. So I sat there, and there was a table so that they could take notes or put their drinks down or their little plate of food if they brought that over too. And it was just a little gathering area where whenever there was an empty chair, someone would come and sit.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very casual, very very fun. Nothing highly structured about this. Usually people are drinking wine and, you know, having a little plate of hors d'oeuvres or, you know, mingling and talking with their friends while someone else is getting a reading. And then whenever the chair was empty, someone else would sit.
Awesome. Now, you've done quite a bit of traveling. I know that you are currently in, is it Pennsylvania you're in, right?
Yes, I'm in Pennsylvania.
Right. And so you were just recently in Colorado. Do you travel a lot? Or if someone wants to, if let's say someone living in California or someone living in Colorado, is there any specific times that you're going to be in any of these areas coming up?
I plan on being in Colorado sometime in spring or summer, at least once, perhaps twice this year. When I do that, I let the people in the area know that I'm coming back in case they want to do another room party at that time. I'm also in the process of getting a website up and a Facebook page up also, where this information then will be accessible to anybody. They'll see my schedule and where I'm, where I am currently and where I plan on being next.
Excellent. And do you know what your Facebook name is going to be, just out of curiosity? Are you going to go with Anne's Runes?
I believe I set that up last year, although I haven't done anything with it, and I believe it's Runes by Anne.
Runes by Anne. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's good to know, so that way once it's up, people can easily search you and find you.
That's right.
Well, I want to thank you for taking the time to educate our listeners about runes and about your incredible ability to read them and just bring insight for people. And as you heard here first, that 2015 is a great year for you guys to manifest what you want in your lives. So the ball is in your court, if you will. It's your turn to make things happen.
Yes.
Thank you again, Anne, for being part of the show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Tony. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye now.
Every week, we dedicate a song to our guest. And this week, we'd like to talk a little bit about manifesting money, since it is the year 2015 and manifestation is one of the main things about 2015. Magnet for Money is a song I wrote, and it's something that you can sing along, and hopefully some money will come your way. This is Magnet for Money by Saint Tone.
You just wide open. millions are flowing like a magnet to me. Magnet to me.
Anytime I feel like I am running on empty.
Yeah, I change my mind quickly. I'm a magnet for the money.
Anytime I feel like I am running on empty.
Yeah, I change my mind quickly. I'm a magnet for the money.
Once again, that is Magnet for Money by Saint Tone. You could find that track at www.sainttone.com. That's SAINTTONE.com.
And hey, I have a great idea. Go to Saint Tone Facebook and say, "Hi, Tony. I really like your music." A little corny, but yeah, you should do it anyway.
Don't forget Humanitarian Radio Facebook also.
I was just going to say that. Go to Humanitarian Radio Facebook to see who is on the show, who's coming up, what great things are going on, and check out the website and see that you can go to any archived show. Maybe you could grab a little inspiration to help you get through your week. So don't forget, let us know if you know somebody doing something really amazing in your community or that is looking for some assistance and can use a little helping hand. We can get the word out for them. Drop us a line on our website or on our Facebook, and we look forward to inspiring you next week. Make it a great week. Do something wonderful for someone around you. Bye-bye.
Humanitarian Radio, shouting out some good news for your soul.